today is found in the book called the Acts of the Apostles, the 5th, the 6th chapter. We have been speaking to you of the apostles being taken prisoners, and likewise how that an angel of God came and delivered them out of the prison and commanded them to go and stand and to speak in the temple all the words of this life, and how obedient that these apostles were to the voice of the angel. They did not run away from their work, but they immediately in the morning went into the temple and began to teach and to speak unto the people as they had previously been doing. And the council that had taken them prisoners came together again and sent to have these prisoners brought before them. But when these men went to the prison, why, they found the prison door shut. They found the guards standing in the front of the prison, but the prisoners were not in the prison. God had delivered them miraculously by the hand of this angel. But one came and told them and said unto them, the men whom ye are seeking are standing in the temple, and they are speaking unto the people. So they sent a captain with soldiers who came into the temple and took these apostles and brought them again before the council. And they spake unto these apostles and said unto them, did we not straitly charge you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and ye intend to bring the blood of this man upon us. This is what they complained to the apostles of, that they were not obedient to what they had commanded them to do. These apostles couldn't do anything else but what they were doing. They were filled with God himself. He had taken possession of their hearts and of their minds, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't do anything else but teach and preach. They were obedient to their heavenly sender, and therefore they were not transgressing the commandment of these rulers. We are to obey those that rule and govern us in every way where it is according to the word of God. But if not according to that, then we are not to obey them. We are to obey God above all. So these men, they were obeying God in speaking unto the people in the temple. And they came before this council, and this council accused them of doing something that they were not to do. Now, they did not defend themselves at first. They could have said to this council, why, look, men, look what God has done for us. He brought us out of the prison. He told us to go into the temple, and he told us to witness according to what he has given us to speak about. They didn't do this to these councils. No. Christ had said to them when they were on earth with him, he had said that they would be brought before councils, and that they would likewise be scourged, and that they would have to appear before governors and kings. And when they were brought before them, they should not fear what they would have to say, for they would be given what to say. It would not be them that would speak, but it would be the Spirit of their Father that would speak through them. So here they were before this council, and Peter, who was the boldest, he took the word, and he began to speak unto these men. They had been accused that they had filled Jerusalem with this doctrine, and that they intended to bring the blood of this person upon them. Now, at one time, this same council, they had stood by the cross and by Pilate and had said, let his blood come upon us and upon our children. They did not fear what would come upon them, but now they were afraid. They said, ye intend to bring the blood of this man upon us. They didn't want this. They didn't want to be guilty of the blood of Christ. where before they had even cried out, "Let his blood come upon us and our children." And now Peter, he began to speak and said unto them that they should obey God more than man. This is true. We should too, every one of us. How seldom do we obey God? How much the fear of man has to do with what we do and what we say? How much we keep back for the fear of man? Oh, how blessed it is. If God's presence is with us, then we fear no man. And we fear not what shall take place with ourselves either. This is so lacking, my hearers. These men, they had the presence of God with them. And therefore, they had not run away. If they had been only of their own power, they sure would have ran as fast as they could so that they wouldn't be cast into prison anymore. But here they were. They were prisoners again. And Peter began to speak unto them and told them this, that they would obey God and not man. And likewise, he said, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath raised him up and exalted him to his right hand and hath made him a prince and a savior to give repentance and remission of sins unto Israel. And we are his witnesses, and the Holy Spirit also, who is given unto them that obey him. Peter then brings home to these councils of men that God, that wonderful God, he had exalted his son Jesus. Or he didn't speak about himself. He didn't speak about what God had done for them the night before. No, he began to exalt Jesus and what God had done for him. He had raised him up out of the dead, and whom ye have slew and hanged upon a tree, he said. Him God hath exalted to his right hand and made him a prince and a savior to give remission of sins unto Israel. How wonderful he exalts Jesus, and he exalts this great God. And he brought home to them whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Oh, I am sure that these words, they cut right to their very heart when he said to them that they were the murderers of Christ. They had said, you intend to bring his blood upon us. And Peter, he didn't hold back his words, no. He spoke right to him and said to him, whom ye have slew and hanged upon a tree. And he went on to state how that God had raised up his son Jesus, and that he was now at the right hand of the Father. He was a prince, he was a savior, and he was willing even to forgive this council what they had done unto him. He was willing to give forgiveness of sins to the greatest of sinners. Oh, Peter had experienced it, and Peter exalted his savior before this council, pointing out to him the love of God in raising up his son and lifting him up to heaven and putting him in this position as a prince and as a savior. Oh, that this council would look unto him whom they had murdered, whom they had slew, and that in and through him there was forgiveness even for them. And oh, they were cut to the heart, the Bible says, when they heard these things. And they took counsel to slay them. How different, my hearers, did this word take effect upon this council. When Peter spake the very same words to the multitude upon the day of Pentecost, when he accused them of murdering Jesus, they likewise were pricked in their hearts. And when they were pricked in their hearts, their hearts were softened. They were given a godly remorse and a godly sorrow for their sins. And they began to cry out unto Peter and to the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Here, the same message, the same truth, it cut them to the heart. It didn't soften their hearts. It filled their hearts with rage, with anger, with malice. Oh, they couldn't accept this truth that Peter brought to them. See in this, my hearers, how that the Spirit of God uses the truth. For one, it is a Savior unto life, and for another, a Savior unto death. So it was for these people in the council. They were cut to their heart. Their hearts became filled with the devil, we would say. And all they wanted to kill these men. They wanted to slay them. This is the way it acted upon them. Oh, what a terrible thing, my hearers, when the gospel comes in this way and we become angry with it. Our hearts rise up in rebellion against it. And oh, when we hate those even that speak to us and teach us and preach to us. All this takes place many times, my hearers, especially when the word of God is spoken in its purity and in its sincerity. What a mercy if it has ever come into your heart like it did to those on the day of Pentecost. Was your hearts ever pricked? Was your hearts ever broken with godly sorrow because of your sins? Were you ever to go in secret and confess and to cry to be saved from your sins? The mercy of the word of God has taken this effect upon you. And now this council, they went ahead and prepared to slay these apostles. But there was a man in this council by the name of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, and he was a man of great reputation among the people. He was a doctor in the law. He was an instructor of this man, Gamaliel. He was not a converted man. He was a man that was well-liked and well-respected. He didn't believe in flying up in a rage and doing things that would be inconsistent. This man had received a great reputation for his wisdom and for the things that he had presented unto the Jewish people. And now he was in this council, and he spake unto the men, "Brethren," he says, "put the apostles to one side, and let me speak with you." He was a wise man. He didn't want the apostles to hear what he was going to say to this council. Now this man, Gamaliel, he was a man that had been a tutor in a synagogue. According to historians, Paul, Stephen, and another apostle had been at his feet. They had been taught by him and instructed by him. And this man, Gamaliel, he was given at this time by the providence of God to speak to this council. We may see the overshadowing providence of God over this man and over this council to protect his servants, his apostles. They wanted to slay them, but he reasoned with them and said unto them, "Men and brethren, see what you do." In other words, you're not in a state and condition even to act rationally. You're full of anger. You're full of malice. Listen, there was a certain man by the name of Judas who likewise claimed that he was somebody that was great. And he gathered 400 men together with him. And this man, Judas, he was slain, and all that had followed with him, they were dispersed. And after him there arose a man by the name of Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing. And he likewise gathered a number of people together unto him. And he was killed, and the rest likewise came to naught. Now think of this, he says. We have here two examples of men that were seditious and led a faction of people, and it all came to naught. He insists on this that the providence of God would take care of these apostles. And he spake unto the council in a very wise way and said, if this work be of man, it shall come to naught. For I've given you two examples of it, and it has come to naught. If these men have risen up to make a society whom they claim Jesus is the head of, and they are gathering people to join this society, and it's of themselves, it'll surely come to nothing. Soon they will be laughed at and be called ridiculous. But he says, if this work be of God, then be careful that ye less happily ye fight not against God. For if it is of God, ye cannot overthrow it. How wise this man Gamaliel was in instructing this council concerning what these apostles were doing. For if these apostles were like the prophets of old whom God had sent and raised up, sent to the people of Israel, then if they wanted to go ahead and slay them, it's a dangerous thing to do this. You're fighting against God. And I can tell you who's going to come worse off in this deal. Oh, he was very smart, this man Gamaliel. And what led him to speak this way? Probably it was God himself that laid the words in his mouth. He never probably intended to speak this way, but God directed him so that he had to speak this way. Now, this man, tradition says, that he remained a hater of the Christian religion. The Jews, they claim that although he spake in this way, favoring the apostles, he remained an enemy of Christianity, and he died as such. The Jews claim, they have a prayer even, that this man wrote and commanded the Jews to pray. And that was a prayer which they prayed to take the Christians and to kill them, to extirpate them, and to destroy them. This is a prayer that Gamaliel gave unto the Jewish nation. But this is what the Jews say about Gamaliel. But the Catholics, the Baptists, they claim that this man, he became a wonderful Christian, that he favored Christianity, and that he even was with Paul in many places and was an advocate with him and a sponsor of the work that he was doing. Now, if this was true, surely we would have something about it in the book of the Acts or in one of the epistles, because this would not be concealed because he's written about in the Bible. We can't believe that this is true. Probably the Jews are correct. But he was used in this respect so that the apostles were spared. Their lives were not cut off. They were not slain for the work that they were doing. God seen to it that this work must be carried on. And now, when this Gamaliel finished speaking, they all gave heed to him. They listened to him. They agreed with him. And when they had done this, they took the apostles and brought them before them again. And to vent their rage and their malice, which they were so filled with, they took them and they beat them. They beat these apostles. They whipped them. They took their clothes off them and they scourged their back like Jesus was scourged. And now then, they let them go. They then suffered for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we read that they left the council with joy because they were given to suffer for the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. They were filled with a heavenly joy that they who were sinners and who were saved by him who suffered, who bled, who died for them on the cross of Calvary, they were given in a like manner to suffer for his name's sake. This joy so filled their souls that they left the council, and they did not stop doing what these men compelled them and spoke to them to do. They told them that they should teach no more of this name, Jesus. But they went forth from the council with joy, and they went into the temple and into every house and teached and preached nothing else but Jesus Christ. They couldn't do anything else. He was in them. He had taken possession of them. And they couldn't do anything else but speak about this wonderful Christ who had been with them upon earth and who now was in heaven and who was using them as witnesses for his name and for his sake and for Christianity. What a blessing, my heroes, did these apostles have. Oh, to think that Christ likewise dwelt in them and magnified himself in them and gave them to suffer for his name's sake, and that they were filled with a heavenly joy because they were given to do this. Oh, my heroes, I am afraid that if it was you or I that had to go through these things, it would be far different, unless Jesus was in our hearts, like he was with the apostles. Now, this Gamaliel, he had made a very wise saying. I was thinking about his saying. He had said, if this work be of men, it will come to naught. But, he says, if it be of God, he says, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest happily, he says, ye be found to be fighting against God. Gamaliel speaks about the work of men, and he speaks about the work of God. My hearers, if God has begun a good work of grace in your hearts, nothing can ever overthrow that work. No, sir. Gamaliel spoke the truth. If you have begun it yourself, or if man has begun it in you, it will come to naught. But if God has begun a good work, no sin, no world, no devil, no own evil heart that you have can ever overthrow this work. And believe me, everything that I just spoke of comes up against this work. This is the work of God. And if you have that work in you, you will find so many enemies trying to overcome this work. And sometimes you fear that they have overcome. Sometimes you fear that this work is not of God. Sometimes you think maybe it was of myself. But then again, God, in his love and in his mercy, he revives this work. He takes care of his own work. He that hath begun a good work in you shall succeed with that work until the day of Jesus Christ. It will never fail. Or may you be given to see that God might work in you by his blessed Spirit, and then you will be one of those who will be given to enter into heaven above. You will be given to suffer here below for his name's sake. Much shall come up against it. Many enemies oppose it outwardly and inwardly. But you will be kept by the mighty power of God through faith unto salvation. These men, they went away rejoicing for this cause that they were given to suffer for his name's sake. And now this church in Jerusalem was increasing daily. Multitudes were being added to the church. Wonders and miracles were being done by the apostles, and many people were converted and became Christians. And now they brought their gifts and all their treasures to the feet of the apostles. And in those days there arose a murmuring amongst the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows
were neglected in the daily ministration. It appears that the apostles, that they had likewise charge of the financial affairs of the church, the money that was brought to their feet, that they had to use to distribute it unto the poor. And they had to distribute this according to the needs of the people. And also they had to teach and to preach the word. And now there arose a murmuring, a complaint against the apostles, that they were showing partiality, that the Hebrews were being taken care of better than the Grecians, the widows. Now, I don't think this was true, because these men, they were gifted with the Spirit of God in them. And I'm sure that they were made honest by God. If God has made you honest, you know something about it. And these men, they were honest, they were sincere. But they had so much to do, they probably set somebody else over this work. And these people, they showed probably partiality to the people that came to get some help from the funds that were being gathered. Now, these men probably thought the Jews, they were more wealthy than the Grecians. And when the Jews sold their estates, they got more money for their estates and they brought it to the feet of the apostles. The Grecians, they weren't so wealthy. And when they did give something, they couldn't give too much. And now, according to the way that they gave, that's the way they distributed it, it seems, which wasn't right. And therefore, this complaint came to the apostles that the widows were being neglected. They weren't getting what they were supposed to get out of this fund. And of course, the apostles, they called the church together. And when they had the church gathered together, they suggested to the church that they select 7 men out of the church, men gifted with wisdom and understanding and filled with the Holy Ghost, to set them over this work, this business of distributing the money that was needed for the poor in the congregation. They then had a meeting, and in all probabilities, they led it over to the congregation to put the men in office who they desired. They set them up like we do on a nomination, and they probably voted for them, and they had Stephen, they had Philip, and 5 other names that you find here in this chapter. I can't just remember the names correctly. But we only read of 3 especially who are spoken of in Scripture. All the rest you don't read nothing of after this. In this chapter, we have the beginning of a deacon's office in church. Under the Jews, they had alimoners. There were 3 alimoners in a synagogue, and they took care of the poor. Every 7th day, they distributed to the poor what was needed. And probably from this, this new Christian church had the idea that they likewise should have somebody to set over the affairs of taking care of the poor. So these apostles, they had the meeting with the church, and they set these men, and these men were accepted by the church and accepted by the apostles. We read of Stephen, we read of Philip, and several others. You also read of one name at the end, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Now, Stephen, he was a gifted man. He was filled with faith, the Bible says, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And such a man was needed in this office. And Philip, we find likewise, he was a gifted man with the Holy Ghost too. Now, we do not read much of Philip being a deacon. For we know from Scripture in the 8th chapter that Philip he became an evangelist. They that use the office of a deacon well, the scripture says, shall gain a great reward. His reward was that he was taken from the deaconship and he was made an evangelist by the apostles. Philip, he went out preaching. You know how he met this man that was coming from Ethiopia and how he preached the gospel to him. Later on, you read in this chapter, in the Acts of the Apostles, how that Philip went to Samaria. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and they found him in Azotus, and then he went to Samaria. In Samaria, he dwelt. He had four daughters. You read that Paul was on a journey, and when he came to this place, well, then he stayed in the house of Philip, who had four daughters that were virgins. So we know that Philip, he did not remain a deacon. Probably they put somebody else in his office. Now Stephen, we have this lesson of him today. He was a man that was a gifted man, an educated man, a well-bred man. And he went ahead and he was very zealous for Christianity. And he was very zealous in the work that he was placed in. And wherever he went, he had the liberty and the boldness to speak about Jesus. He wasn't afraid. And now this man, Stephen, he did many wonders and many miracles among the people, this chapter teaches us. It doesn't say what wonders or what miracles, but he did them amongst the people, openly. Everybody's seen him do these things. Christ's miracles are not hidden things. They're not secrets. They're open and plain and to be seen and to be inspected by anybody. So this man was gifted in this way to do these things. And this man, Stephen, he likewise found opposition against Christianity. Now, tradition says that Paul and Stephen and Barnabas, they sat at the feet of this Gamaliel that I had been speaking about before. And according to the commentary, this sect of libertines that stood up against Stephen and argued with him about religion, they originated from Jews that came from various places. They came from Cyrene, they came from Alexandria, they came from Cilicia, from Asia. According to the Jews, these were proselyte Jews. They went over to the Jewish religion and they traveled to Jerusalem. And when they stayed at Jerusalem, many times they stayed a long, indefinite period. So these people, they each had their synagogues in Jerusalem. Just like we in this country, we have churches for the Dutch, for the German, for the French, for the Italian. So in Jerusalem, they had synagogues for these people that came from all these various places. And now in these synagogues, they used them for a school. The youth of these men were sent to this synagogue to be taught and instructed in the Jewish religion. In this synagogue of the libertines, there was Paul, there was Stephen, and there was another disciple that were at the feet of Gamaliel. And now this Stephen, he was converted to Christianity. And he left the school and he left them people and he began to preach and he began to speak to whoever he met. And now these men, Paul probably at the head of them, because you read that Paul, he had his hand in it when he was stoned to death. Paul raised up opposition against this man, Stephen. And probably they had a contest to see who was right. apostles, they put Stephen forward as their champion to speak for them. And probably these libertines, they had somebody to speak for them. The contest was who was right with their religion. And now when Stephen began to speak, why, they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit that Stephen spake with. It does not say him, it says the wisdom and the spirit wherewith Stephen spake. The wisdom and the spirit of God. He was filled with faith. He was filled with the spirit. God was dwelling in this man. And God began to use him when he had to speak to these people that opposed him. They had arguments about religion. And when Stephen began to speak, they couldn't answer him back. They had nothing to say to him. He so proved his points that they were silent. But they became angry. They became mad. So mad that they wanted to kill him. So they decided, when they had a little council together, that they would get men, and they would put these men forward, and they would be false witnesses. They would prove that this Stephen had said things that were blasphemous against Moses and against God. So they suborned men, it says. They paid these men, and they put the words in their mouths, and they held a council. And they had these men witnessing and testifying against Stephen. And now Stephen, he had to be brought before this council. And when he was brought before this council, the Bible says, they all beheld his face as the face of an angel. He was just filled with God himself. Now how he defended himself and what it led to, he being the first martyr of the first Christian church, we will continue with next week, the Lord willing. That's all for today.